welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. My guests for today are Maggie Segrich and Meredith Wheeler of Sesh Coworking, an inclusive coworking space in Midtown Houston that just recently fully opened its new facility. Maggie, Meredith, and I discuss what makes Sesh different and how they are intentionally growing their membership. Maggie, Meredith, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having us. We're so glad to be here.
I know it's been a very busy time for y'all, and I know the origin story of Sesh, but if you could, just for our listeners, tell us a little bit about where the idea came from and what that original lightning bulb moment was for you.
Yeah, definitely. So Sesh began as basically our own pain point. For me in particular, I was on a business journey, trying out a lot of different ideas, knowing I wanted to start a business, but not knowing which passion to pursue and which felt the most viable. And I felt really alone. I felt isolated and very unsure about the journey I was on and the decisions I was making. And while I knew about co-working at the time, this was way back in 2014. While I knew about co-working, it didn't really feel like a great spot for me. I just had my first baby. I was feeling very hyper maternal and being really enjoying living in that moment. And the spaces just, they didn't seem very welcoming to my experience that I was having. And after a while, as I went through business idea after business idea that wasn't going to stick, it dawned on me that, oh, wait a minute, this space is the business idea. It was the thing I wanted the most. So when we moved back to Houston, my husband and I started coffee and co-working meetups to see if other women were looking for the same thing. And through that, I met Maggie when she moved here from New York. And she was thankfully pretty down with the idea too, and asked to join forces together in order to make the actual space a reality. The community had been growing for a while, but the space was the next thing to build. And so 2019, she joined her, or really late 2018, joined on board. And from there, we built our first space in Montrose and then, as you know, moved here to Midtown.
So where did, I know the collaboration aspect of you two coming together to make this a reality. Where did the name come from? And really, like, overall, how would you describe your vibe from a co-working perspective to someone who's not familiar with Sesh?
Yeah, I'll take the origin story question, and then you'll have to explain our vibe.
Oh, man.
Basically, I knew that I wanted each person who was introduced to our community to feel unafraid to enter into it. It's really hard to walk into anywhere, a room, a community, an organization where everybody knows each other. And I knew I wanted to build an organization where everybody knew each other, but I wanted people to feel like we were approachable. So long story short, it started out with kind of in my head being like, oh, this should be like girl time, girl sesh. As we grew and Maggie and I developed the business more, we really wanted to broaden the people that we work with. And we wanted everyone to know that it wasn't just for women, went beyond. We can talk more about that later. But with that, it morphed into Sesh co-working. So sesh being slang for session, we have a work sesh. It just fit and it felt approachable.
Sometimes our vibe can be difficult to explain because it's a little bit more of a feeling than it is a place. It's that feeling that you have when you realize that, oh my gosh, these are my people. I belong here. Whether that vibe is through our artwork or all of our planties that we have all over the space, or whether it's through the way in which we gather, you know, being that approachable community hub, or just being accepting of humans being multifaceted. I think that's our vibe.
Well, and this is building upon that. And also why I said vibe versus like describe your business model. You know, it is a vibe. It's a different type of company. And I know y'all built it very like intentionally that way. So like, we know that co-working has boomed in big cities like Houston, all over the world. But how do you differentiate yourselves from other co-working places? And how do you make sure that's something, I guess, people want? Like, how are you factoring in what, you know, your members want and need? What's that intentionality that we've talked about a little bit?
Well, I would say that at the end of the day, what our members really want is a feeling of belonging. They might need to get out of the house because they're feeling cooped up. They might need to network a little bit more so they can gain some more clients or find their next gig. But I think what they really want is a sense of belonging. And I think Sesh provides that. And we provide that because we are this inclusive community where each person, each individual, as Maggie said, each individual is multifaceted, and everyone just wants to be seen, wants to be heard, wants to be respected, and at the end of the day, hopes to be celebrated. And that's what we do for each of our members.
Well, let's talk about the new space, since I know that's such a huge milestone for y'all. And I've been in the previously opened part. I'm excited to check out the newly opened part that y'all announced just last week. And we have a laundry list of all of the fun amenities and pictures on Innovation Map. But I want to know for each of you, what's been your favorite part of the new space, and any other highlights you think are really special that you want to share with listeners?
Oh man, I don't even know where to start. The first thing that came to mind was the plant wall. But then I was like, oh wait, what about all the chandeliers? And then the new mural. It was just like,
I was thinking Hall of Hue.
Hall of Hue, yeah. We've been working on that one the last 2 days. So you can see how that's top of mind. The kitchen's beautiful. I don't know. It's so hard to pick one place. And it's funny because I feel like in the barely week that you and I have been down here working, have you noticed we work everywhere? We're like behind reception. We're at this table. We're at that table. We're on this sofa. We're in this room. Now we're in that room. I mean, we literally work in like 5 or 6 different spaces throughout the space. I don't know if that's because we're so excited about it or that's just where our minds are.
I think it's pretty exciting because this is the space we've been dreaming up for years, and to finally see it come to fruition is just, I don't know, it gets us giddy and a little bit awestruck, but then at the same time, we're entrepreneurs, so we're also like, on to the next thing. How can I make this better? but yeah, my favorite is Hall of Hue. So we're doing some really cool interactive walls. We have one upcoming with magpies and peacocks, which we're really excited about. That's in the works. But one of the walls that we are doing as Sesh is we've created the Hall of Hue, H-O-U. And it's this compilation. The whole wall is going to be covered with photos of inspiring Houstonians, remarkable leaders. Most of the people are from Houston, but not everybody, because anyone who has positively influenced us or made great strides in society for equity and equality, they're all up there. And so it's been so fun putting it together. And we asked the team, hey, who do you want up there? Who do we want up there? So there's everyone from Anise Parker to Beyonce to both mine and Maggie's grandmothers are up there. It's not just women, it's women and men. And our hope with this is we've built out the first portion, and now we're going to encourage our members to submit either themselves, their friends, their mentors, anyone. And we're going to create this massive Hall of Hue.
Yeah, that's so interesting. First of all, I cannot wait to see the Hall of Hue, because that sounds like something you can just get lost in looking at and break up your day in a kind of fun way. And what I was going to say too about working all around the space, it's like, that's kind of what I think people, what drove the need for co-working spaces is people needed a change of scenery. They needed a place to, yeah, set up their laptop and work, but they could have done that at home, I guess, if they had to, like we had to during the pandemic, but it's nice to have that change of scenery and like the ability to do that just within SESH. And not have to go elsewhere, I think is really valuable. And members are, I guess, going to get their money's worth in that way because they can really bop all around the two-story space, you know? So in that vein, with this new, bigger space completely open now, I know that was quite a journey for y'all to get to this point. So I know it's a big deal. What kind of doors did this open for your ability to grow? You know, what does this mean for adding more members into the mix?
Yeah, well, this space is 10 times the size of our old space. And so that definitely allows our community to grow exponentially, whether that's through just co-working members, but as well as with the addition of people who have offices here and or who are just community members and use the space as they see fit, whether that's through an event, recording a podcast, photography, hosting a DIY class. This larger space really diversifies our ability to help fill the void for the community needing space.
Yeah, so with that being said, who should strongly consider becoming a member at SESH? And what options are there for membership? I know you touched on a couple, but if someone's really interested in learning more and considering joining, what do they need to know?
To your first question, who should consider having a membership at SESH? I would say anyone that values a flexible work schedule or just flexibility within their work schedule is one, but also if you consider yourself a creative, a sort of free thinker, a innovator, someone who likes to test the boundaries a little bit, we're the space for you and we're the community for you. There's no boring spot in our expansion. And it just feels vibrant and cultured. And if those are things that speak to you, then we're probably the best home for you.
So how can people learn more? Do you recommend coming for a tour? You know, what's step one?
Well, step one is always booking a tour, even if it's just to come and see if we are the right spot for that person. But beyond, you know, taking a tour, you can attend events, whether that's networking or business development, or, you know, buying day passes, which start at $25. And then it goes upwards into co-working, dedicated desks, and offices. We try to reach people at all the different levels because we know that, let's say you're a co-working member and that's $199 a month, you know, but then to jump into an office, that's a big differential in pricing for some people. And that means that your business has to grow exponentially to that point. So we try to make sure that our members, even if they're co-working members, still have access to private spaces for a few hours a day. So SESH has tiny offices that are just our co-working members can use for up to 3 hours a day, because we know that budget constraints from co-working to offices it's a big deal.
Another way we consider that is, or we work with that as well, is through our retail pop-up shop. We have created a retail space that is available for a 6-month term, and it's $600 a month. And it's priced, basically being subsidized by a lot of the rest of the space. And our intention with that was the same that Maggie was explaining with having tiny offices. It's because there's so many fantastic Houston-based retail providers out there. There's so many great shops. And there's many people who have been doing the markets and farmers markets and pop-up events. But that jump from going from pop-up events to a formal lease, 3, 4, 5 years sometimes, that's a commitment, that that's a lot of risk there. So we hope, and by creating this in-between retail pop-up, it can give retail owners a little taste of, okay, this is how I would run it. This is how I would do it. And it also helps them build their fan base, their audience, and sell more product because they're here in our space with the rest of our community.
Absolutely. And I think something that's really exciting too is the cohesiveness of the vibe, the quote unquote vibe, and the aesthetic and the design elements of the space. It's all very cohesive and very on brand with what I think y'all are putting out there. And the retail space, I feel like, fits right in with that. It's like you get to, at least, you know, in the past, like you get to kind of have a piece of sesh that you take with you when you make a purchase from the retail space. But I want to talk to you about, and I know we've discussed this in the past, but how do you make sure that vibe is cohesive and that your messaging is on brand? I think that's something that some startups, even outside of co-working, face. It's how do we maintain this message, this look, this brand? I think it's really challenging, and Sesh is one of the companies that comes to my mind of doing it right, you know? So wondering if you had any tips for that.
I feel like we're always constantly evolving and tweaking and adjusting the brand as we grow, as society shifts or changes.
As we get feedback from members on their own experiences.
Or even our team members will give us feedback, and a lot of listening.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think it's also important that we, in our photos that we have on our website, we always try to include our actual members in the photos. I think it's important for people to see our community. Our desire with our community was always to make it as beautiful and diverse as the city of Houston. And when I say diverse, I don't mean just racially, but from all backgrounds, with all experiences and all industries. And I think that Houston, we're so special in that way. And we want Sesh to be equally as special.
Absolutely. I think the inclusivity and the diversity and equity, and I think that's all very much part of your original DNA. But I guess in the same vein of like providing advice for companies, what are the challenges of maintaining and ensuring that you have an equitable, inclusive space? And how do you make sure that that's something that is reliable and you're, you know, accomplishing that? Like, what sort of metrics do you track?
I think we do this in a number of ways. I mean, one of the first and simplest ways for business to do this is in their hiring practices, to make sure that they are putting the right vibe out there, that they are practicing what they're preaching, whether that's through their hiring practices or through their branding, or social media or marketing. I think another way that Sesh does it is we meet people where they are, whether that's us going out into the community and being at the Pride Festival, or us going out and being at other organizations' festivals. I'm trying to think of the show up and show out that Dane and Coco went to.
Yes, for the families of trans children.
Yes.
In Texas.
Because yes, we are a place that holds space for people, but sometimes they need to see you in their own space where they feel secure before they trust coming into your space. So meeting people where they are in the community, I think, is very important as well.
So one way too that we received feedback on the way we've been interacting with the community that we're so proud of is that we won the Allied Business of the Year Award for 2022 from the LGBT Chamber. And that was, I think when I got the email, I literally like screamed in the space, like when I read it, because I was so excited. But that was such a rewarding moment, I think, for our whole team to be honored for our work in that way. And we were already thinking after we accepted the award, we were like, okay, how do we do this even better next year? You know, how do we continue to give back to our community? And yeah, we were just blown away by that.
That's great. Congratulations on that. I think we're definitely living in an era where it's like trendy to, you know, post your rainbows and post about Black Lives Matter and everything. And we as, you know, consumers have been able to see when a company is actually doing something versus just posting that imagery up. So I think we're getting wise to, you know, the companies that are doing just that. So how do you recommend, or like, what sort of resources would you recommend companies that are very interested in doing more than just, you know, like I said, posting that rainbow emoji? I'm saying that too, because we're fresh off of Pride Month, where it was very, very common that you had companies change their icon to something like that. But I wonder, you know, for Houston startups who want to make sure they're doing this, what resources would you recommend?
Well, first and foremost, we always highly recommend becoming a member of the Greater Houston LGBT Chamber of Commerce. That is absolutely the best way to get your foot in the door, not only with the local business community, but also the municipality itself, to see what they're offering and how they are working with the LGBT Chamber and LGBT certified businesses. And I think that can be said with all the chambers, whether that's the Black Chamber or the Hispanic Chamber. I believe there's even an Asian Chamber, that if you want to make an impact, go right to them, because they will have all the tools and resources to help you do that.
Something I think is also very unique about SESH is, and maybe not super unique, but you guys have a very balanced partnership. I feel you balance each other out. I wondered if you can talk a little bit about that, the role each of you plays and the opportunity it is to partner with someone, but it is a very serious relationship that, you know, goes through some stressful times. So I wanted to ask all about
that. Definitely been stressful here lately with the ending construction and moving, but I think I kind of feel like we've hit a good stride in our partnership, because yeah, we definitely do joke that we are the yin and the yang to each other. Like one of us is high, the other one's low, and then vice versa within the hour or the next day. You know, I think open communication with each other.
Definitely.
And not being afraid to openly communicate, because I think sometimes there is that fear of like, oh my gosh, what if I really want to share this crazy idea? Is she going to think I'm like batshit crazy, you know, or is she going to think I'm like being really moody? You know, like, and learning to acknowledge each other's strengths. You know, like I might write an email and I'm very straightforward and to the point, because I like to be concise as possible, but I know that whoever I'm writing may not appreciate that. So I'm like, Meredith, can you fluff up this email for me?
I'm the official fluffer in this relationship.
So she'll, you know, soften my edges a little bit, so to speak. But I think just kind of leaning into that, like, okay, Maggie's great at putting IKEA furniture together. Meredith is amazing at putting down carpet tiles. You know, we divide and conquer in that sense.
Yeah. You know, it is like we always say, it's, we got business married. It is like a marriage. You have to, like Maggie said, the open communication, the transparency, the, you know, willingness to sit down and tackle the hard things. But at the end of the day, I think we feel so grateful that we have each other, because there's so many business owners who want what we have. And I know that because they've asked, how do you find a business partner like this? And I was like, I don't know, just wait for her to come to you and ask you if she can help. Cause that's what happened with us. So it was very kismet, but we're very lucky. Cause I don't think anyone fully understands what it's like, except the other one of us, you know, we get each other.
That's so true. I think it is a very common thing for startups, technology startups, regular startups, anything in there with the co-founder, finding that right co-founder is always something. If it's not kismet, it's like intentional and you know, you need a co-founder. But I think a lot of times it's like, well, I'm the big picture, so I need someone on the day-to-day. I'm the CEO, I need a COO or whatever. But I think for at least what I've observed with Sesh is that y'all kind of have this leadership thing down in a less specific way. It just happens. And I think that's very unique and very special. And anyone who works around y'all, I think probably sees and observes that as well.
Thank you.
Well, I guess just to wrap up, and I don't want to stress y'all out any more than you already have been, but I know getting to this milestone of fully opening the new space. What's next? What's next in the future? And it could be as far away as 5 years, because I know that just getting to today was big for y'all. So what's next?
Well, first Houston, next the world.
Yeah, right. I mean, this location we have definitely set up to be the flagship. So there is definitely more Sesh coming, whether that's in Houston or Texas or somewhere else has yet to be determined.
Well, that's exciting. I will be very patient and wait for news on that. But it's exciting to see and can't wait to learn more about that little tidbit.
We will update you off air.
That sounds good. Well, thank you all so much, Maggie and Meredith, for joining me today. It's always fun to get to talk to y'all and great that we finally did it in a podcast format. So thanks for your time today and congrats on opening the new space.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.